Let's turn in the scriptures to our first reading this afternoon, which comes from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 6, you can follow on the screen or in the Pew Bible. If you'd like to follow in the Pew Bible, you'll find the reading on page 1187. The writer of the book of Hebrews is writing to them and writing about them, and he's speaking to them of the confidence that he has that they are in Christ and that they are being saved. We're going to be reflecting this afternoon on what it means to test ourselves, to examine ourselves. And I think we can gather from these words that we're going to read that these people, the Hebrews, were able to test themselves and find assurance of their salvation. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. Now let's turn back a few books to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, page 1150 in the Pew Bible. We read verses 1 to 10, and as we almost approach the end of 2 Corinthians, we'll complete the book, Lord willing, next Sunday before we continue on with carol events for up until Christmas. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, which you'll see on the second slide in red, is the main focus of our text this afternoon. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others. Since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. But we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong, and our prayer is for your perfection. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up not for tearing you down. This is the word of God. Examine yourselves. I almost thought to myself this could very well have been our text this morning. Examine yourselves, as we are called to do in preparation for the Lord's Supper. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And that would have been highly appropriate as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning. But that could also lead us unintentionally to believe that testing yourself, examining yourself, is something that only ever has to do with the Lord's Supper, which isn't true at all. So perhaps this afternoon is a very appropriate time, a very fitting time for us to consider this message as we approach one of our last afternoon services for 2018 and very nearly the last passage in 2 Corinthians. We've been travelling through 2 Corinthians for some time now. And you'll remember some of the things that we've seen along the way. And one of them has been, we've seen Paul's authority as an apostle questioned. The Corinthians have been saying, who are you, Paul? Who are you? And why should we listen to you? What's the proof that you're a true apostle? What proof is there that Christ speaks through you? After all, you seem so weak. We're expecting success. We're expecting a man who's got it all held together, but we don't see those signs in you. Rather, we see weakness. We see a man struggling with a thorn in the flesh, whatever that might have been. We see a man who seems to be bold in his writings, but very timid when he comes to us. What's the proof, Paul? How do we know you are who you say you are? Show us. Well, in our text this afternoon, Paul, as it were, turns the tables. He challenges the Corinthians, and by extension, he challenges us as well, to conduct a spiritual audit to see how they and we check out as Christians. Examine yourselves, he writes. Test yourself. There are three questions that I want to put to us this afternoon that will help us to do this well, to help us examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, as Paul asks. And the first question's this: how are you living? How are you living? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And if we're going to carry out these instructions that Paul has given to us, we've got to ask ourselves more than just, what do you believe? Of course, what we believe is important. It's not enough just to have a vague notion of faith. You aren't in the faith. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. You're not in the faith simply by believing in the existence of a higher being of some sort. No, Christianity is not vague, but clear. We are called as Christians to believe clear things, particular things. The Christian faith isn't a pick and mix smorgasbord where you just go up to the buffet and say, I'd like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. These are the things I would like to believe. These are the things that I would prefer to believe or not to believe. No, we summarized what Christians believe before in the words of the Apostles' Creed. What you believe matters. And if you don't trust in Jesus, then you are not a Christian no matter how you live. What we matters believes. What we believe matters. But the fact that you are here this afternoon is already an indicator that most likely you believe things. Perhaps you've been brought up in a Christian family. Perhaps you've been taught the faith from your parents. And that learning's continued for you through Sunday school, through discipleship classes, through GEMS, through cadets, through youth club, through Bible studies. But we need to ask the question, but is your faith real? Is your faith lived out? How are you living? Is your faith applied? Have you not only believed the gospel, but have you lived the gospel as well? You see, those who are in the faith, as Paul says here, those who are in the faith also live the faith. Christianity is not a believe a certain set of abstract ideas and you will obtain an eternal life insurance policy. And then you can go out and live however you like because it doesn't really matter anyway. You've been saved by the Lord. You believe certain things. Therefore, life doesn't matter. No, those who are in the faith also walk by faith. Their faith is applied. But what's the standard? What's the standard of testing? Are we to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith? What's the standard? The standard by which we are to measure ourselves and how we are living is not one another. Paul doesn't say here, compare yourselves to others, use them as your reference point to work out whether you are above the line or below the line, whether you are living in a way that is above average or below average. And if you're up here, then yeah, things are pretty good, but if you're down here, you work a little bit harder. Now he says, examine yourselves. He doesn't say examine other people. He says examine yourselves, examine yourself. And the standard is perfection. The standard is holiness. The standard is Christ Jesus. And none of us live up to that standard. That's one of the things we believe as Christians. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe it. That we don't live up to the standard of Jesus. And so the question this afternoon isn't, are you perfect? Because you and I aren't perfect. Rather, the question, I think, would be better phrased like this, in what direction are you facing? Are you embracing wrong, or are you turning away from wrong towards God? That's what repentance is, turning away from wrong, turning towards the Lord. Are you turning away from a lifestyle of rebellion? At the end of chapter 12, Paul was speaking about their life and what he feared he might find. He said, I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery. Are you turning away from that sort of lifestyle that Paul describes here in chapter 12? My friend, if you hate those things, however, if it grieves you to see them in your life, and you do see them in your life, if it grieves you to see those things in your life, then that is a sign. That is a sign to you from God. It's a sign that He is yours and you are His. It's a sign that there is new life in you. And if that's you, if you see that grief over those sins that you see in your heart, if that's you, then you have great reason for joy this afternoon. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. How are you living? The first question we might ask ourselves, if we were to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, how are you living? For the Corinthians, testing themselves includes what they're doing, but it also goes beyond there. In fact, the heart of the issue in this third section of 2 Corinthians is a second question. Who are you listening to? How are you living? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Again, think back to the context. What's going on here in Corinth? Well, Paul's authority as a true apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ is under challenge. People are listening. Who are they listening to? They're listening to the super apostles, to false religious televangelists who are turning people away from the gospel. They're being discouraged to pay attention and listen to poor, weak, struggling, suffering Paul. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to Paul? Are you listening to Paul, God's true apostle? You'd better be, Paul says. Because he says, I'm coming to visit. I've visited you twice. I'm going to visit you a third time now. You better be paying attention and listening. If you're still ignoring me when I come, you're going to be sorry. You see, you can't just keep on ignoring what I'm saying to you. Well, because it is God who is speaking through me to you. That's what Paul says. You can't continue ignoring what God is saying to you. That's not okay. I mean, Paul didn't care about himself. But he says, when you poke out your tongue at me, when you... Away with you, Paul. That's not me whose voice you're blocking your ears to. That's God's voice. So when we examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, then we must be concerned not only with what we believe and how we live, but also who we're listening to. Are we listening to God or are we ignoring God? Of course, we don't have the Apostle Paul writing directly to us like he did to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth, writing to us with particular directions for life, being a disciple of Christ living here in Toowoomba. But Paul does write to us. Paul writes to us. The gospel authors write to us. Moses writes to us. In the words of the authors who wrote this book on behalf of God, God writes to us. God speaks to us. And my question is simply, are you listening? Are you paying attention to what God is saying, or are you ignoring God's warnings? Perhaps the easiest way for us to test ourselves in this regard is to ask these sorts of questions. What are the hard passages in the Bible for you? What are the passages that you wish weren't there? What are the passages you wish weren't in the Bible because they speak against what you do or what you would like to do? What are the commands that you would rather ignore than put into practice? And those are the places where you and I need to test ourselves the most, because the answers are often the clearest. Not in the things that you find easy. There are many things in the Bible that we might find easy because we have a natural inclination, for example, to help others, as I mentioned this morning. It's not the things that you find easy that are the test, it's the things that you find hard, the things that you would prefer not to do. That's what it means to be listening to God. Not listening when it's convenient, as children are often wont to do. Not listening the way I sometimes listen to my wife when I'm reading something on my iPad. Yes, dear. And your mind is half there, but not really there. You have the selective hearing switch enabled. But listening all the time, and especially listening when we don't want to listen. Because we know what God's saying to us, we just don't want to hear it. Are you listening? Are you listening to God? Who are you listening to? Are you willing to follow wherever God would lead you? Do you fight against the tendency within your own heart to ignore the bits of the Bible that you wish weren't there? In humility, do you allow God to speak into your life? If the answer is yes, then that's a further sign that Christ Jesus Himself is in you. That you pass the test, that you are making your hope sure, that you are not becoming lazy, as Paul spoke about people in Corinth who are becoming lazy, but that you are imitating those who, through faith and patience, will inherit what has been promised. Who are you listening to today? Are you listening to the voice of culture? Are you listening to the popular opinion all around you about how life should be lived and what's important in life? Are you taking your values from the rich and the famous? Are you taking your values from what you see around you? Do your values come from here, or do they come from whatever's being shared around social media? Who are you listening to? Whose voice do you value? Are you listening to God? That's the test. How are you living? Who are you listening to? And here's one final angle on self-examination, on testing yourselves to see if you're in the faith. And that's this question. Where do you find help? Where do you find help? Where do you find help? Because the things that I've been speaking about this afternoon are difficult things. It's not easy to live faithfully. It's not easy to listen to God. It's not easy to do those things. If you're sitting here this afternoon and you think that you can just gut out the Christian life just by trying harder, working harder, if you think you're capable of doing these things, living faithfully and listening to God without fail just by applying a little bit more effort, then my friend, you're mistaken. You can't. You can't do that. You cannot do these things by yourself. You cannot live faithfully and listen to God faithfully just through your own effort, through your own strength. You can't do it. It's beyond you. We can't do anything to please God, let alone follow Him faithfully on our own. Where do you find help? And here's the first key to finding help. What does Paul say? He says this: do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? We cannot please the Lord in our own strength. But if Christ Jesus lives within us, if He dwells in our lives, then my friend, all things are possible. You see, God never asks anyone to live the Christian life on their own, in their own strength. He always asks you to live it with the help of Christ. In the strength of Christ. That's why Jesus sent His Spirit. He didn't want to leave us as orphans in the world, living life on our own, trying to cope on our own, trying to be faithful to God on our own. He didn't want to leave us on our own. He said, I will come to you. I will send my Spirit to you. Jesus gives us the Spirit to help us in our struggle, to help us walk faithfully. And it's the Spirit whom Jesus sends who helps us, who helps us to put off the fruit of darkness And to encourage the growth of the fruit of the Spirit, that juicy, gorgeous, delicious fruit in our lives. That's the work of the Spirit. Perhaps you're having one of those days, though, when you just find yourself giving in to temptation and sin again and again. When you're having one of those days, not one of the good days when you're up on the mountaintop and things are fantastic in your Christian life, one of the days when every temptation that comes along, you don't want to fight and you just find yourself giving in again and again and again. When you're having one of those sort of days, what do you do? What do you do? Do you just try harder? Or do you ask Christ Jesus, who is in you, for help? Do you ask Jesus for strength? Do you ask Jesus to help you to fight against the evil one? Those are the signs of a true disciple, of someone who is in Christ Jesus. Don't struggle along on your own as if you can just get along by yourself. You can't. Look to Jesus. That's the first key. Remember who is in you. Remember that Christ Jesus is in you. He will give you the strength to do and to work out in your life what He calls you to. And then here's the second key. And that is the key of prayer. You'll see following on in verse 7, second sentence in white there, Paul says, "Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong." And again in verse 9, about halfway through, he says, "And our prayer is for your perfection." You see, without prayer, we cannot be faithful believers and livers and listeners. Only God can enable us to be those things. Only God can turn our stubborn hearts back to Him. Only God can send us His life-giving Spirit. Only God can strengthen us to withstand temptation. Many of us are, I suspect, like most Christians, we are not very good prayers. We pray not very often and about not very much. But do you pray? Do you pray? Do you pray at all? Do you look to God for strength to fuel you, to strengthen you for the Christian life, for strength to follow Christ? If you do, if you look to God in prayer for strength to live the Christian life, then that too is a spark of life. It is a sign, along with all of the other signs, that you are not on your own in this world. You are not without hope in this world. You are in Christ Jesus, and therefore you have everything. And perhaps, my friends, perhaps the difficulty of the things that we've been reflecting on this afternoon, the difficulty of believing and living and listening, will encourage you to pray anew. We're a month away from New Year's resolutions, but maybe that will be a New Year's resolution for you in a few weeks' time. Not to pray for hours every day, that won't happen. Being realistic, it's not going to happen. Our lives are filled with too many things, even that God has given us, for that to happen. But maybe your resolution will be to pray more than you currently do, however often that is at the moment. And to pray especially when you're facing temptation. To also pray regularly, however often that is. After all, if you pass the tests, then you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you'd like to talk to Him, right? If you're in Christ, in relationship with Him, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. How are you living? Who are you listening to? And where do you find help? Amen.